Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 9 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater Program. 233 in the series. This is Saturday night, November 18th, 2017. And to my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl.
We have Shantae Garth, our producer in the booth. And we have some great classic radio shows for everybody. Halls of Ivy, starring Ronald and Benita Coleman. Good comedy. Then it's Suspense, starring Robert Cummings from 1954. Then The Shadow from 1939. And it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming biblical film Mary Magdalene and portrays her relationship with Jesus.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, what do they win?
They are going to win a certificate for a sports theme artificial tree from Tree Time. Yeah.
Yeah, Tree Time.
And we have Tree Time decorations here in the studio, and they are beautiful.
We certainly do. All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress played Lisbeth in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Hey, hey, who do you think you are?
I actually think she was nominated for an Academy Award for this performance in this movie.
You know, did you see the movie?
No, I did not see this movie. All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Who is that actress? We'll find our winner after these words.
This is show 233 of the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Hey, hey, who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are, Lisa?
Oh, you sound just like
who
her.
Who do you think you are?
I don't want to say who it is. Let's talk to Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
How's it going?
Great. How are you?
I'm great. Who is that actress?
Rooney Mara.
Rooney Mara is exactly right. And you know what you've won? This is really cool. It's a certificate for a desktop. It's a pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree. So you can go by Tree Time on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington, and you can choose the team theme of your choice. And congratulations.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm going to give it to my son-in-law.
Oh, perfect. Enjoy it.
There you go. Way to go, Aaron.
We have a beautiful studio here. It is full of Christmas decorations. We've got a big tree, and we have a Santa coming through the fireplace over there.
Yeah, Santa's
and
coming through.
We have beautiful ribbons and all sorts of beautiful
yes,
things.
Yes, it's very festive.
Do you decorate in your place?
Not really. No.
Yeah, well, that's why we can enjoy it here.
I'm a bachelor. I should, though, because my son and I live together. And
well,
we
you
probably
should decorate
would,
together.
Maybe we will this year. Go over
you
to Tree Time.
You should do it together.
Yeah, because Tree Time's right down the block from me.
Oh, you should go there together and pick out some
all right,
fun
you know
stuff.
What, Lisa?
You're on it.
I'm going to do that.
Good job.
I'll take some pictures.
Okay, you
all
do
right?
that.
All right, it is time for the Halls of Ivy. But before we listen to that, I want to remind all of our listeners, we have a text in line. It is 312-981-7200. We love to get your texts throughout the show. We're here for 3 hours, and hopefully you will be listening with us for 3 hours. But we just love to get your texts. If you have any questions about the show or any comments, please text us, 312-981-7200. All right, the Halls of Ivy, Lisa, it was a situation comedy series. It starred Ronald and Benita Coleman, came to NBC Radio in 1950, and it was actually created by the same guy who co-created Fibber McGee and Molly, Don Quinn. Now, Ronald Coleman played William Todhunter Hall, president of Ivy College, and his wife, Victoria, a former actress, was his constant companion, would help him out with his running of the school. And Willard Waterman, who played the Great Gildersleeve, was a board member. His name was Merriweather. He was on the show, too. Alan Reed, the voice of Fred Flintstone, was the stuffy English teacher, Professor Heeslip. and it made a transition to television in 1954. The scripts from the radio show were adapted for the TV show, so they just kind of recycled them.
Well, that makes sense. Now,
yeah,
doesn't
it does.
It? Yeah.
All right. So, are you ready for this comedy?
Let's do it. The Halls of Ivy.
Let's go back to February 10th, 1950. This is called The Snowman. It stars Ronald and Benita Coleman in part one of The Halls of Ivy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Joseph Schlitz Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin presents The Halls of Ivy, starring Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman. Now, the Halls of Ivy.
We love the Halls of Ivy that surround us here today. And we will not forget, though we be far, far away.
Welcome again to Ivy. Ivy College, that is, in the town of Ivy, USA. Five people didn't go to bed at all last night here at Ivy. Grogan, the campus policeman who was making his rounds. Two sophomores and a freshman who were investigating certain mathematical phenomena, such as the odds against drawing to an inside straight. And Dr. William Todd Hunter Hall, the president of Ivy, who's been working at his desk in the study of his home since shortly after dinner yesterday. The chapel bell is striking eight as his wife, the former Victoria Cromwell of the London Stage, enters and says,
"Good morning, Dr. Hall."
"Good morning."
"And congratulations. You've just set a new record for going without sleep. Any statement for the press, champ?"
Yes, I'm glad to bring the cup back to Ivy, where it belongs, and I'm looking forward with great confidence to the international match in Brussels next spring.
Oh, poor darling. How do you feel?
Surprisingly well, if the ability to cope with whimsy on an empty stomach is at all indicative. Do I look awful?
Interesting, rather. One so seldom sees a chartreuse complexion.
Bad as that, eh? Well, it's worth it. One seldom sees an annual report as superb as the one I've just finished writing. Here, have a look.
Let's see. The state of the college.
Or, in the vernacular, out of the red and over the hump with Hall.
You sound enormously set up about it.
Yes, I've reason to be. I'd no idea how much I'd accomplished last year until I put it all down in black and white. The endowment fund is up, the building fund is up, enrollments are up.
And what are you doing up? Will you be working very much longer this morning?
No, I'm ready for bed.
Well, good. Penny will be right in with your overcoat and hat.
My overcoat and hat. Vicky, we've been married long enough for me to make a confession. I never go to bed wearing an overcoat and hat. I'm one of those odd fellows who slips between the sheets wearing only pajamas. I know I should have revealed this before,
stop.
But I...
I told Penny to bring in our hats and coats because I'm taking you for a walk. A short walk for relaxation, a light breakfast, and then a good long sleep.
Excuse me, Mum.
Yes,
I've
Penny.
Brought your things. Good morning, sir.
Oh, good morning, Penny. I'll take those. Thank you. You're looking well this morning, Penny.
Thank you very kindly, sir. And you're looking... It's a very nice morning for a walk.
You don't say.
Yes, sir. It snowed last night. The first real snow we've had this year. And it's ever so lovely. Makes one want to go out and throw snowballs at top hats.
Well, feel free to do so whenever the spirit moves you, Penny. I'm ready, Victoria. Penny, you didn't by any chance notice a snowman on our front lawn, did you?
Should I have, sir?
Well, after the first really good snowfall of the year, the students have the custom of building a snowman in front of the home of each faculty member. You've heard of that, haven't you?
No, sir.
And the more affection they have for you, the larger the snowman they build.
There ain't one on our lawn. Allow me, sir.
Why, I dare say the snow fell too late for them to have taken advantage of it last night.
Which way should we walk, Toddy? Along Faculty Row?
Yes, that'll do nicely.
Be back in half an hour, Penny. That custom the students have. It's almost cruel in a way.
Not in the least. I admit it must seem so to those members of the faculty for whom very small snowmen are built, but they survive. Professor Heaslip, for example, has survived years of snowmen not much larger than a Drosophila fruit fly. Oh.
Professor Heaslip is lucky the students built any token of affection on his lawn. If anything, his personality suggests excavation.
And the report I've just finished makes it more certain than ever he won't get my job. His carefully cultivated friendship with the chairman of the board notwithstanding. It's really a smashing report, Vicky. I raised almost $1 million in endowments, built...
Built what? What's wrong?
Look, there's a snowman in front of Professor Quincannon's house.
Oh.
The snow came early enough after all.
Hmm. Well, perhaps it wasn't the students, Toddy. Professor Quincannon has two children. They may have built it. Children build snowmen, too, you know.
Of course, that must be it. I mean, after all, there's no reason to suppose the students would build one for Quincannon and overlook me, is there? I mean, there's no reason to suppose they're antagonistic to me. I don't see why they should be. Do you?
No, of course they're not. You were telling me about your smashing report. Toddy, come on.
Hmm? Oh, yes, my, report. I suppose I shouldn't have said it's a smashing report. It's not really smashing, but it's a darn good one. I believe I may say, without immodesty, that I'm good at my job. After all, a college president must have ability and
keenness of vision?
Well, all college presidents have keen vision. A few, in fact, can even see themselves in the White House in 1952. You know, I knew a man once who...
I'm listening. Or what? What are you staring at?
A snowman in Professor Howard's front yard.
Oh, yes. Oh, I suppose Professor Howard's children must have built one, too.
Professor Howard is a bachelor.
Yes, of course. I'd forgotten. Well, then, Professor Quincannon's children must have come over from next door. I remember when I was a child, I used to build snowmen all over the place. Couldn't get enough of them. Fairly cover the landscape and build one in front of my house and one next door and then one further down the street.
Yes, they could have come over from next door, couldn't they? Quincannon's children, I mean.
Well, of course they could.
Yeah, they could have jumped over the hedge, yes. or even come around that way through the gates.
Mm-hmm.
It's not much more than 30 paces. And you know, they're very active youngsters, positively hypothyroid.
Oh, they are.
Oh, one probably said to the other, let's build one now on old Howard's lawn.
Yes, exactly. As a matter of fact, I seem to remember having heard children shouting something like that earlier this morning. You were telling me about your report.
Hmm?
Your report. I want to hear more about how darn good it is.
Oh, I suppose I shouldn't have said it's a darn good report. It's not really. It's a fair report. A little more. Vicky, darling, you spend much more time with the students than I do, really. What with your coaching the junior follies and all, you haven't heard any grumbling about my administration, have you?
None, Toddy, none.
Ah. It wasn't a very tall hedge, you know. Quincannon's children could have jumped over it.
Or crashed through. I mean, they're very sturdy.
Oh, it's the most natural thing in the world.
Yes, Toddy, let's turn down this street. I'm rather tired of Faculty Row. Same old hedges, same old houses. This street seems very charming.
Really? You find that row of garbage pails charming?
Oh, well, I suppose not. Oh, dear. There's a snowman in front of Professor Warren's house, too.
The young Quincannons have had quite a busy morning.
Good morning, Doctor.
Ah, good morning, Dr. Warren.
Morning, Mrs. Hall.
Good morning.
Out for a stroll?
Yes, we're out for a stroll.
Well, I find there's nothing like it on a morning like this for getting rid of the doldrums. Don't you?
Occasionally.
We were just admiring the snowman in your front yard. It has a great deal of character.
Oh, it's a pip, isn't it? I know it's not supposed to be good form for a faculty member to pay any attention to this sort of thing. But when you're 70, as I am, hypocrisy is too much of a strain. I just look at that gleaming monster and glow, Doctor. Glow.
Well, I don't blame you. And yet, the custom in some cases can be cruel, don't you think? I mean, the ones that don't get built.
Nope. It's not the custom that's cruel. It's the crushing impact of truth. Some people can't stand up under it at all. You take a president of Ivy we had in 1900, that's before your time. Bessemer was his name. 1 year, every member of the staff had a snowman except Bessemer. Old Pop Gut Bessemer. He resigned a few weeks later, for reasons of health, of course.
Oh, that seems very impulsive of him, a little drastic.
Well, Ivy's a small school and always has been. Personalities play a much bigger part than they do at some of these giant diploma factories. You wouldn't care to continue as president if you knew that students would much rather tie a can to your tail, would you, Doctor?
Well, now, that's an interesting way to put it, but no, I suppose not.
Why, of course not. You look at it this way, Mrs. Hall. Teaching hardly ever pays off in money. The average prof makes only about $2,500 a year, and it hardly ever pays off in glory. I myself can name 10 baseball players or burlesque queens, bless them, for every teacher you can bring to mind. Well, then, what makes an old party like me, the last of the tobacco-chewing professors, or a man like your husband stay with it?
Pride in the job, I suppose.
Pride in the job. That and the feeling that maybe we're helping the young savages become not scholars, but men and women, and that they appreciate it. Take that away and what's left?
Absolute zero.
Here I am lecturing the president. Tell you, when you arrive at my age and succeed in conning people to regard you as a lovable old gaffer, you get away with murder. Care to come in for coffee?
No, thank you. We have breakfast waiting at home.
That's the wisest decision you've made today. In all the world, no one concocts as nauseating a cup of coffee as I do. I'll see you soon, I hope, ma'am.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Dr. Warren.
He's a pip, isn't he? My snowman.
The very word for it, he's a pip.
Careful, don't slip on that snow.
By the way, Vicky, did I tell you I received a letter from Quesnel University this week?
I don't believe you did, Toddy. Why?
Well, they hadn't heard of the renewal of my contract as president here at Ivy, and they've made me a very flattering offer. Treasurer of the university. At almost the same salary I have here.
Toddy.
Further, and, perhaps of more importance, it's a purely administrative job. I wouldn't come into contact with students at all. Not ever.
Toddy.
They requested the courtesy of a reply this week. It's really a most flattering offer. I think I'll accept. Yes, I think it would be best.
That's the first portion of The Halls of Ivy with the Snowman, starring Ronald and Benita Coleman from 1950. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, we're here every Saturday and Sunday night, 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. And you know what, Lisa Wolf?
What, Carl?
Tomorrow night, we are celebrating Thanksgiving. We have 3 Thanksgiving radio shows for our listeners. And because this Thursday is
Thanksgiving.
Turkey Day.
It sure is.
It's Gobble, Gobble, Gobble Day.
So you want to tell them what the shows
are?
We've got Thanksgiving, the Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
We have the Jack Benny program and the Milton Berle show. So some
3
great comedies.
Yeah.
And they're all about Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
so
that's
this
tomorrow.
Is Comedy Central tomorrow
yeah,
night, guys.
That's right.
So for all you guys begging for comedies, this is your night. And for all of you that complain at comedies, may not be your night, but you'll love us anyways.
And don't forget, we always post pictures of the stars. So like right now, we're listening to Ronald and Benita Coleman in the Halls of Ivy. And if you go to our Facebook page, just go to Facebook and search WGN Radio Theater, you will see that we have a terrific picture of Ronald and Benita Coleman up. And then a little while later, we'll have Robert Cummings because he stars on Suspense. And then there'll be a picture of Bill Johnstone as the shadow. We always do that. We always post pictures.
We also have a fun fact posted on our Radio Theater Facebook page, so you can check out that. And throughout the night, sometimes we post photos, videos. Depends what kind of mood we're in.
Yeah, the fun fact is about Ronald Coleman.
Yes, it is. I know.
All right, so check that out. But right now, let's get back to the conclusion of the Halls of Ivy.
That surround us here today.
Returning to the Halls of Ivy, we find a dispirited Dr. Hall strolling in the snow along Faculty Row with Mrs. Hall.
You're very quiet, Victoria.
I know. I'm concentrating. Trying to think of the right thing to say.
Oh, you don't have to say anything, my dear. The silent eloquence of the students has left very little unsaid.
Toddy, I know how you must feel. In a small way, I've been through it a number of times in the theater, playing for laughter and applause and getting the rustle of programs and a few coughs. You can say to yourself, chin up, and good show, and carry on, all that. And over it all, you can hear the lorries backing up to the stage door to haul the scenery away.
Well, this time, they're going to haul the actor away from the scenery. And after I'd convinced myself that I'd given such a sterling performance. A smashing report, indeed.
Would it help if I tried a recital of Kipling's If? It kills them in the provinces.
It's likely to prove lethal here, too. But thank you, my dear, anyway. As organizer and sole member of the William Todd Hunter Hall Fan Club, you've done some noble work.
Oh, Toddy, you don't have to try and laugh it off for me. Get it out of your system, darling. Blow up.
Curse the Board of Governors. And their promise that I wouldn't have to spend my time wangling emoluments. Curse my folly in believing them. To the devil with all fatheads who kept me away from the students. Bah!
Oh, that was lovely.
No wonder they feel no affection for me. I'm so seldom with them. Not that to know me is to love me, you understand.
I understand nothing of the sort. I know you very well, and I'm mad about you.
How difficult it is to... Oh, thank you, my dear. How difficult it is to maintain contact with the student body. One college president I know scheduled a speech to the senior class for the sole purpose of proving that he actually did exist.
Oh.
And that... That's what's wrong with my report.
Toddy, I'm sure it's a superb report.
No, on the contrary. I omitted all reference, beyond a few statistics, to the most important part of any school, the students, and what they think about the state of Ivy. I should have found time to teach more courses. Look at Hutchins at Chicago and Conant at Harvard. The students are what make a college, not campus buildings and installations. Diogenes discoursed from a tub. And his students listened, and it was a school.
Toddy, look, talking of tubs, I see Professor Heaslip.
Well.
Through this hedge. He's just leaving his front door.
Is there a snowman on his lawn?
Yes, a very small one, which he has just made larger with two handfuls of snow. Oh, he's heard us and stepped back.
Well, hello there. Good morning, Skipper. Good morning, fair lady.
Good morning.
Good morning, Heaslip. It's a nice snowman you have there.
Yes, it's a very nice little one.
Oh, you should have seen it before the sun came up and melted it. Amazing how quickly it went. This is the warmest part of Faculty Row, you know.
Oh, really? I found the whole area very cold.
Oh, that's a mistake, Skipper. That snowman was inches lower. I mean higher a few minutes ago. It melted down considerably. Also, the boys and girls happened to have chosen a slight dip in the ground on which to build it. Actually much taller than it looks. Optical illusion, you know. Not that I pay any attention to such things, of course.
Of course.
I'm happy the students like me as much as they do.
Of course.
I've often asked myself why. Naturally, I don't court their affection. I'm a very strict but fair pedagogue, if I say so myself. Perhaps it's the occasional humor with which I sprinkle my lectures.
For example?
Yesterday. I was discussing nature references in the poetry of the more eminent Victorians, one of whom referred to a dogwood tree in some lyric or other. I asked my students if they knew how to distinguish a dogwood tree, and when they said they didn't, I told them. By its bark. Well, I must be getting to class. Good morning, Skipper.
Good morning, Heathcliff.
Good morning, fair lady.
Good morning.
The warmest part of Faculty Row, indeed. Ah. And yet, for the sake of that little snowman, I think I'd almost be willing to change places with Heathcliff.
It'd be a little bit rough on me.
What are the boys and girls, as he calls them, see in the man? Oh, it's true he has no enemies, but that's more than balanced by the fact that none of his friends like him.
Well, let's turn back, Toddy.
Well, this is probably one of the last times we'll ever stroll along here, Victoria. It's an attractive little street, isn't it?
Yes.
I've lived here a long time.
And I've loved it here.
You see that house across the way?
Mm-hmm.
I had a furnished room there when I was an instructor. On the top floor. Kitchen privileges. Female visitors permitted only as far as the front parlor. Please turn out the light before leaving the room.
Liberty Hall, wasn't it?
Then when I was appointed assistant professor, I moved over to this side of the street. Sitting room, bedroom and bath. Hot plate permitted. No wild parties.
Oh, what exactly was a wild party at Ivy in those days?
If I remember correctly, more than two people laughing at the same time. But then I allowed my appointment to a full professorship to go to my head, and I rented that Charles Adams mansion over there.
Oh, it wasn't a Charles Adams mansion. It was a wonderful old place to live.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? I mean, after I brought you there. It was fairly empty when I occupied it all by myself. It echoed. Empty and unsatisfying, and nothing I did with it, new furniture, new drapes, fresh paint, seemed to propitiate the fat little gods of the hearth.
Until you offered them me as a human sacrifice, eh?
You might very well have been mistaken for a human sacrifice as I handed you down from the taxi that first morning. You were scared to death.
Yeah, I was. I'd never had a home of my own before. Just hotel rooms and flats and theater dressing rooms.
Look, here we are, driver. And this is for you. This is our home, Victoria.
Oh, William. It's exactly the way I imagined it. All covered with vines and so very peaceful and quiet. And oh, look! My name's on the letterbox.
I sent a letter from England asking that it can be done.
Professor W. Hall and Mrs. Victoria Cromwell Hall. Oh, thank you, Toddy, for being such a dear love. Is it always as quiet as this?
Yes. Nearly always.
And empty. I don't see any students.
One of them has just seen you. You seem to have arrived in more ways than one. Come on, let's go inside.
Oh, please take my hand. I'm suddenly appalled at how little I know about taking care of a household.
Hang on tight, darling. I have shortcomings, too.
Promise you'll overlook mine until I've learnt my way around.
I promise. It'll be a mutual understanding. Now, what did I do with the key?
Can't you find it?
Well, I could swear I had it in my hand. I thought I... Oh, I do have it in my hand.
Oh, you're as nervous as I am, really, aren't you? I'm
yes.
So glad. I keep on forgetting you're new at this, too.
There. No, wait.
What?
Wait. There's a little ceremony involved here, a very nice one. I'll carry you across the thresholds, like this.
Oh, Toddy, look, a snowman.
A snowman? What's a snowman doing in our hallway?
Don't you see it? The students must have come while we were out walking.
Yeah, but they've no right to build one inside the house. And where did they get the snow in May?
No, Toddy, it's a snowman. And it isn't May, it's February.
Yes, I know, but we...
From wherever you were, dear, come back.
You have a snowman.
Yeah, but I mean,
what? And it's the most enormous snowman you've ever seen. Right over there.
Oh. Why, it is a snowman. In our front yard. Vicky, this is our house, isn't it?
Yes, of course it is. Oh, Toddy, you're always losing yourself in your thoughts.
Not completely, my darling, because you're always with me. But I don't understand this
Look,
snowman.
Look, there seems to be a note attached to it. Yes, it's addressed to you. Here, what does it say?
Well, one moment. To President Hall, the delay in construction is entirely your fault. If you must work nights, please do so in one of the back rooms and avoid those overlooking the front of the house. In that way, the traditional anonymity of the bill... They misspelt anonymity. The traditional anonymity of the builders will be preserved. Affectionately, classes of 50 to 53 inclusive. Well, now. Of course, it was probably a good bit larger when they first put it up. After all, this is the warmest part of Faculty Row, you know.
Yeah, I know. Could you stand a bit of breakfast and some sleep now?
Breakfast, by all means, but no sleep as yet. Remember, I have the report to get out.
Another report?
The same one, but better. Far better and a great deal more inclusive. Directly after breakfast, I shall want to see the presidents of every class in my study. Yes, and the officers of all student organizations, too.
All at once in your little study?
Oh, we'll get them in, my dear. We'll get them in. Look at that snowman. It's good packing today.
And now, here again is Mr. Ronald Coleman.
The campaign to fight heart disease, this country's leading cause of death, is now underway. Diseases of the heart and blood vessels take an annual toll of more than 600,000 men, women, and children, a staggering number indeed. This dreaded menace accounts for one death out of every three, a greater toll of lives than the next five causes of death combined. This year, give generously in support of this wonderful cause. Send your contributions to Heart, care of your local post office. Open your heart, give to fight heart disease. Thank you. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
We'll be seeing you next week at this time at the Halls of Ivy, starring Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman. The other players were Alan Reed, Gloria Gordon, and Arthur Q. Bryan. Tonight's script was written by Walter Brown Newman and Don Quinn. Our music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. The Halls of Ivy was created by Don Quinn and directed by Nat Wolf. From the Joseph Schlitz Brewing Company and the Halls of Ivy, our heartiest congratulations to station WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut, on this, their 25th anniversary. Ken Carpenter speaking.
Oh, we love the Halls of Ivy that surround us here today, and we will not forget, though we be far, far away.
Next, hear We the People over most of these same NBC stations.
That is the Halls of Ivy, February 10th, 1950, with The Snowman, starring Ronald and Benita Coleman. It's aired on NBC, sponsored by Lisa's favorite beverage, Schlitz Beer. I never see you without a Schlitz.
Yeah, I thought it was Aroma Wines.
Yeah, well, that too.
I'm very conflicted.
One hand has Aroma Wine, and the other hand has a Schlitz beer in it.
Yep. That's me.
That's a fact. Whenever I take a picture of you, that's what you look like, one in each hand there.
Let's get together for a glass of Schlitz.
And Aroma Wines.
And Aroma Wines.
All right, stick around. Much more classic radio coming your way. right here on the WGN Radio Theater. Stick around. Hey, Lisa, you know what?
What?
I started my Christmas shopping.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you get me?
It's only a month plus away here. I bought you something nice at Heat Holders. Really some nice stuff.
Good.
You're
going to
really like it. Your feet are going to be warm. And I saved 15%. I went to heatholders.com. I bought you a couple of different pairs of socks. You're going to love them. And I actually bought pretty much everyone in my immediate family some Heat Holder socks because I want their feet to be warm.
Well, you're not big on surprises now, are you?
And my well, they're not going to know. And my bill was over $25, so
good.
I got free shipping.
Good.
Right?
Right. And what about Mike? Did you include him in that?
I got Mike. Yeah, I got Mike some heat holders.
And what about Shantae?
Shantae, some heat holders.
What'd you get her? She won't know. Just say it.
I got her heat holder socks.
Great.
That's just, you know, it's just
that's
like
a good standard.
It's a little stocking stuffer, literally.
That's good. Yeah.
You know, but the good thing is all winter, no matter how cold it gets, they have hats, they have gloves, they have throws, they have scarves. They've got great things at Heat Holders. Folks, you should check it out too, heatholders.com. And you too can save 15% by just putting in WGN as a code.
They really do make great products, and it's a perfect time of the year for Heat Holders.
Absolutely. All right, yeah, started my Christmas shopping.
All right.
And I think this week I'm going to go right here to this Nordstrom, right across the street from WGN. Do some more shopping.
Great.
I love,
count Nordstrom.
I know that.
Well, remember, I'm going out of town for Christmas. So you'll have to give me my present a little bit early.
Yeah. I talked to my brother. My brother is going to co-host the show with me.
Oh, good.
My crabby brother,
Vince. Excellent. That should be
who
fun.
Who hates the Great Gildersleeve.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not big
But he loves Duffy's Tavern.
Yeah. He's not, doesn't he like mostly the detectives? That
yeah,
kind
he
of
likes
stuff?
All that stuff.
Yeah.
But his favorite is Duffy's Tavern. Hates Gildersleeve.
All right, well, I'm sure everybody will miss me when your crabby brother's here. Well, I hope so.
He'll do a great job, but it's never the same without Lisa Wolf.
Well, I'll call in, maybe.
Yeah, do that. All right, it is, it's 12:01. In our next hour, we're going to tune into Suspense starring Robert Cummings. And then after that, it's The Shadow with William Johnstone from 1939. So still a lot more classic radio coming your way.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. It is program 233 in the series. This is hour two, and happy Sunday morning to you because it is 9 minutes after midnight. I'm starting to get the hang of this whole Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday morning.
Yeah, we're getting there.
It doesn't take me that long, just a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. To figure it all out.
You're quick.
In this hour, thank you, Lisa, it's Suspense with Robert Cummings and from 1954. Then in hour three, guess what?
The Shadow.
The Shadow.
The Shadow Knows.
And then, as I said, tomorrow, or I should say tonight.
A little slow.
When we come back here at 11 p.m., it's our Thanksgiving show because this Thursday is Thanksgiving. The Great Gildersleeve, the Jack Benny program, Milton Berle, all Thanksgiving type programs. And then you know what happens in December, don't you?
I sure do.
The entire month of December.
I sure do.
Christmas shows.
It's Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas, all right. So we have all your favorite
Christmas
shows.
And I'm leaving you.
But you know, here's the thing. I know. I'm bummed about that. Just for two shows? Christmas and New Year's, right? Right?
No, I'll be back for New Year's.
All right, so
actually.
What is it?
I don't
Christmas
know.
Eve and Christmas or something like that?
I won't be there for those.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, you're going to be where, in Florida?
Yep.
Oh, must be nice to be you, Lisa.
Must be, yeah.
Gosh. You know, here's the thing. Around Christmas time, people start thinking about the Cinnamon Bear.
Right.
Now, we are not going to play the Cinnamon Bear here on WGN, but we have the next best thing. If you like the Cinnamon Bear, which is a holiday tradition, and kids used to listen to this show. It's 26 chapters, and they used to listen starting on Thanksgiving all the way through Christmas, right? 26 chapters long. Well, we have the master recordings of the Cinnamon Bear because we licensed it from the daughter of the guy who created it, Glanville Heisch. His daughter, Katie, we licensed this series from her. And we put it out on our website. It's available for digital download. Now, we don't have CDs for sale. You can actually get CDs of the Cinnamon Bear at the Museum of Broadcast Communications here downtown. But we offer a digital download at our website, so you get it instantly if you order it. And it's half price the month of November. It's only $9.99 for the 6.5 hours, normally $19.99. So the Cinnamon Bear is available at ClassicRadioStore.com, ClassicRadioStore.com. At the same time, we also put in a second collection, and that's Suspense Volume 1. So look at Suspense Volume 1, $9.99, half price, and also the Cinnamon Bear, half price throughout the month of November, ClassicRadioStore.com. All right, are you ready for Suspense coming up here in this hour?
Yes, and as our listeners are reminding us, this is a great night to stay home and listen to some classic radio. It's cold out there.
I know. Well, Suspense and The Shadow, all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This rapper and actor stars in the upcoming film Last Friday, the fourth and final installment in the Friday franchise.
Okay.
And the winner is going to get a Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
Nice. 312-981-7200. That's the number to call. Okay, this actor is the star of Fist Fight.
Campbell! Parking lot. After school. It's on.
And he's also a very famous rapper.
Yes, he is.
Rapper and actor.
You mean, will he be come in handy at Christmas time with all the presents? He can rap them all?
Yes.
Right?
Right. He's a expert rapper.
Yeah. All right. So give us a call if you know who that is. 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play that clip again.
Campbell! Parking lot. After school. It's on.
And there you go. We've got Jose on the line. Hey, how are you?
Hello, Ms. Wolf and Mr. Carl. Hope you guys are having a good evening.
We are. Thanks, Jose.
It is great to hear from you on the phone as well. I know you're a good texter, so it's good to hear from you in person.
Well, no, that's good. You guys really make my weekend, and you guys have a good Thanksgiving, and thank you once again for the Twilight CDs. I really
enjoy
them.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, well, you might be able to win them again if you tell us who this rapper and actor is.
Yes, ma'am. Ice Cube.
Ice Cube.
O'Shea Jackson. Yes,
yes, that is absolutely right. Well, fantastic. Congratulations. You are a winner, Jose, and it is such a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, same to you guys. You guys get home safe. Have a good night, and enjoy the stories.
Thank you.
Jose. Appreciate
Hope you stay
it.
Up with us.
All right. Yeah, Jose, I know, is a regular listener. We really appreciate you, and we appreciate all of our listeners, especially because we're on late. I mean, we come on at 11. We're here till 2 o'clock in the morning, Saturday and Sunday nights, and we play 6 classic radio shows every weekend for you. Mark your calendar. Try to take a little nap before the show. I try to take a nap. I try.
Yeah, well, sometimes people have things they have to do during the day, like they've got kids and husbands and work.
Right around like 4 or 5 o'clock, I try to like take a little.
Yeah, it didn't work
Lisa
out.
Lisa takes them here at the radio
station.
Oh,
yeah, I just pretty much sleep all
while
night.
While the shows are playing, she just takes a little nap.
I just come here and just sleep all night. Yeah. But I did go to this Gateway for Cancer Research event today, and if you want to see some of the photos, they're posted on our Facebook page. I have some great interviews with some great celebrities talking about their passion and commitment for this Cancer for Research and the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. We'll be posting those interviews during the week, but that was where I was
Very
today.
Cool. All right. Well, you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
You bet.
Yep. And it's time for Suspense. You ready for Suspense?
Definitely. Always in suspense.
January 25th, 1954. This is Want Ad. It stars Robert Cummings in a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. Robert Cummings in tonight's presentation of Suspense.
Tonight, Autolite presents a story based on fact, the dramatization of one man's deadly way of earning his living. All he needed was the morning newspaper, a telephone, and a gun. It's called Want Ad. Our star, Mr. Robert Cummings. And now, Autolite presents transcribed Want Ad, starring Mr. Robert Cummings. hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
Well, you see, a guy in my line works alone, more or less. At least he should. But when I first got into town, I met a little lady. And after we'd known each other a couple of months, we got married. As a matter of fact, it worked out pretty well. Every morning, she gets up ahead of me, fixes some eggs and coffee. It's pretty nice, huh? The little lady's name is Wilma.
Baby. Oh, baby.
Through with the funnies?
Do you have to work today?
Afraid so.
Oh, I was hoping we could spend a quiet day together here. You know, sort of lie around, look at the paper and everything.
Maybe you know I'd like that. But I have to do other things.
Leave me all alone to spend the day by myself. I've got a new dress. I could wear it.
Fine. Now I better get busy.
Oh, you just never pay any attention. Well, all right.
Baby.
I think I'll go window shopping. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Section 3, pages 10 to 17. Now then, K, I, 2, 8, 9, 8. Hello, I'm calling about an advertisement in this morning's paper. Do I have the right number? Yes, yes, I am. What kind of coat is it? That sounds like something I might be interested in seeing. Let me get that down. All right. 1425, what? Yando? How do you spell that? Yandota, yeah. In about an hour. Thank you. One for the money, two for the show, three to make ready, four to go, and five to make sure, and six to blow, if I have to. How many women can go out and plunk down the kind of money it takes to walk out of a store with a mink coat? Huh? Not many. For my dough, not any. That means where there's a mink, you can bet there's a boyfriend or a husband around to pay for it. Yeah. And you can bet when the coat's got to go that he's already gone. The lady's got to eat. Get it? She's all alone. And she wants to sell her coat. How do you do?
Yes?
I'm Mr. Vernon. I called about your advertisement in the paper this morning.
Oh, yes, Mr. Vernon.
You haven't sold it yet?
Well, no, I haven't.
Well, that's good.
Now, I don't want to do business with any dealer. I just don't want to be bothered with any dealers. Half a dozen have called me already. I hope you're not a dealer, Mr. Vernon.
Do I look like a dealer?
Well, I can't tell anymore. They're very clever people. I just want to sell the coat outright to somebody. Not on any contingency basis or anything like that. Just sell it outright. You know what I mean.
Yes, I know what you mean. But I'll have to see it before I can make an offer.
Well, all right. Come in. Well, I'm Mrs. Phelps.
Oh, how do you do? You have a very, very nice home here, Mrs. Phelps.
Thank you.
Have you lived here long?
2 years. Would you like to step in here, please?
Oh, yes, sure.
Oh, dear, I've been plagued to death with all kinds of dealers. I don't know how, but some of them found my address without even calling the number I put in the paper.
Why, do they do things like that?
Oh, they sure do. Let me tell you, they certainly do. Well, there it is.
Yes. That's very, very nice. Very, very nice. It's silver mink.
Yes.
Oh, say, could I ask you to put it on for me, Mrs. Phelps? It'd help me. You see, you're about my wife's size.
Oh, sure. Well, you can see it's cut very full.
Yeah.
The sleeves are very full, too. See? See, bat wing sleeves. And cuffs, too. Makes a coat very luxurious.
Yes, a lot of coat there. Just a lot of coat, Mrs. Phelps.
Well, I love it. I just love it. My husband bought it for me a year ago, and I hate to have to sell it, but, well, I need the money. You can see that it's hardly worn at all.
Uh-huh.
See? Here, look at the lining. It's all intact. I don't think I wore this coat more than a dozen times.
How much did it cost you retail, Mrs. Phelps?
Well, Mr. Phelps paid $4,500 for it. These are the insurance papers. Now, you can see what they insured it for.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'll tell you right now, a friend has already offered me $2,800 for it. I wouldn't think of selling it for any way near that. I'd rather keep it.
Would you think of selling it for
$34?
$34?
Yeah. Well, that's still pretty cheap.
Well, I don't have to tell you that a coat's a year old, $600 depreciation, that's not bad. I could possibly get the same coat for $38.
Well...
I doubt if you'll get a better offer than 34, Mrs. Phelps. I'm willing to pay for it right now.
Hmm. Well, I'll have to talk to my husband first.
Is he here now?
Well, he's not home right now, but he'll be here any minute. Could you come back this afternoon? Or maybe you could
I came to buy the coat now. I'm leaving town this afternoon. I thought you were ready to sell.
Well, I... All right, Mr. Vernon. I'll take your offer.
Good.
But I don't know you at all. You understand you'd have to give me a certified check, or I'd have to keep the coat until your check cleared the bank.
Well, I'll pay cash. I brought the cash with me.
Oh.
Anything wrong with that?
Oh, no. No, Mr. Vernon. I just didn't expect to sell it so quickly. I still have the box it came in. It's a perfectly lovely box. I'll give you that for nothing.
Yes, I would like the box.
You know, Mr. Vernon, you are getting a bargain, a real bargain in this coat. I tell you, my husband and I looked almost 2 years before we found a mink that, well, just suited, you know what I mean? Now, you can buy any fur coat, a mink or a sable. I don't care what it is. 30 days later, you hate the sight of it. But this one, your wife will never get tired of. Look, isn't this a pretty box?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Now, you tell your wife to be sure and keep it in a fur storage vault during the warm months. You have to take care of mink. Now, that's all there is to
it. Yes, I know. There's something like this you really got to take care of.
Oh, my. I'm glad you came in the morning. I'll want to take the money to the bank right away. I'd hate to have to keep that much money around the house.
I figured you would, Mrs. Phelps, so I won't bother giving you the money.
What?
Well, then you won't have to make a trip to the bank or worry about the money around the house.
Oh, you mean you want to give me a personal check?
I want to give you nothing.
Well, you did come here to buy this coat. Don't you want it?
Yeah. I want it, lady.
Oh, you're a thief.
I sure am. And don't scream. Oh. Don't open your mouth.
Oh, don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me.
Over there. Go on.
Oh.
Worth $4,000. 1 year old. Real goodbye. You should have seen your face when I told you I'd give you $3,400 for it.
Oh.
I'm a thief. Anybody could buy that coat brand new for $2,500. Oh, it'll bring me about $1,000 the shape it's in right now. I'm a thief with a gun in my hand taking what I want. Now, if you figure out what you'd be if you were counting my $3,400. Oh, you're quite a cute kidder, Mrs. Phelps. But then I'm used to people like you. Get in there.
Oh, don't take my coat, please. It's the only thing I have that's worth anything.
That's the first portion of a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Starring Robert Cummings in Want Ad. We'll have more after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolfe.
I'll tell you, that Bill Curtis, he knows how to play the piano really well, doesn't he? Hear that? How good he plays the piano?
Oh, he's great.
I know. What is that? What do you got
we
there?
We got a
for?
Little note here.
What is it?
It's fun.
We're doing what? Oh, yeah. My gosh. At 107, yeah. We'll be transferring transmitters and will not be live on the air. Please tell people to listen online.
Do we know how long that will go that's on at, for? Is that till the end of the show?
Well, no, that's at 1.
Right.
That's at 1 a.m. So there's no problem with suspense. We're going to play the rest of suspense. And then at the top of the hour, when we go into
the shadow. Hour three.
Yeah, yeah, hour three, they're going to be doing a transfer of transmitters. So it might be a short delay. And we won't be on the air, but you can listen online. Well,
yeah,
Only online, but they can listen on the WGN radio app on their phone, on their smartphone if they have that.
Yeah.
They can listen online. They can listen at the website on iHeart.
Just
or
not
TuneIn.
Live on the air.
Just not live over terrestrial radio.
Gosh.
We could just act it out for them.
Well, you could.
Yeah.
They could watch you
on the
stream.
Saying. Right.
There you go.
I think.
Don't you be laughing at me.
People get smarter the higher levels that you're on. He's
on the
seventh
floor up there. I think when you're on a big, little tiny television on the ceiling.
That's why Roger's so smart. We're down here.
But I'm in the little Hollywood Squares box.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I know.
but we don't
have a center box,
you know,
though.
I have an identity crisis. I don't know if I'm an X or a zero. I don't know.
Oh, you're a zero.
Thank you.
You don't know if you're X or Y chromosome.
You know I'm kidding.
I know.
All right. Well, we'll
you set that up so nicely,
I know
though.
I did.
We'll give people plenty of warning. But right now, let's listen to the conclusion to Suspense.
Well, that's how simple it works. I've been in the business for a little while now, and I know a few things about it. Of course, you got to watch your step and be ready for anything that happens, like today.
Liz, I've been trying. Oh, who are you?
Oh, hi. Who are you?
Well, I'm Frank Phelps. Who'd you say you were?
Well, I didn't say. Besides, you wouldn't know me anyhow.
Where's Liz? Hey, that's Liz.
It is.
That's Liz Colt.
My gun.
Why, you...
Help!
What have you done to her? Hey, what's been going on
here? Hang on to your hat, brother. You won't get hurt. She's okay.
No cheap crook's going to come into my house and pull a stunt like this. I'll show you.
Get down. 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 Stay down. Well, well. You people certainly have something to talk about over dinner tonight, won't you? Yeah. Something you can talk about, all right. Now, when the hard part's done, and it isn't usually as hard as it was today, the next part's to get hold of a fence who can use a mink coat. Pretty easy. I use Walter myself. He takes the paint out of everything. I don't go to him. Just a little old phone call, and he comes to me.
Sorry.
Huh?
You blew it this time, boy. I don't want this thing. It's too hot. Keep it.
What's the matter? You getting touchy?
I'm not getting anything. I just don't want to do business with you anymore. No, sir.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Get your hands off of me, boy. Get your hands off of me. A smash makes you big time, huh? Is that it? A gun whip turns you into Class A stuff? Hands off of me, boy. The last time I'll ask.
Well, it's no sense in us arguing, Walter.
I'm going to try very hard, but I don't think I'm going to like you anymore. You're a killer now.
Huh?
That guy Phelps died this afternoon. It's in all the papers.
Well, he shouldn't have run at me.
Is that what you're going to tell the cops when they drag you out of somewhere by the scruff of the neck?
No cop's going to do that to me.
They always grind off little punks like you, boy. You killed a guy. You beat him to death. You stole his wife's mink coat. There isn't any place they won't look for you, boy. And they know where to look for your kind. They won't stop till they find you. You're gone, boy. Just plain gone. Only you don't know it yet. So long.
I know maybe a half a dozen fences in town. Only tried two of them after Waller. Those fellas are kind of chicken about some things. They get a little action with a piece of merchandise and they all get scared. Of course, they're all afraid of something or other.
Are you thinking, hon? Is that what you're doing, thinking?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
About that man. Didn't he want the coat?
No.
Such a pretty, pretty coat. Oh, baby, I wish we had a fireplace. I wish we had a big, big fireplace and then we could sit in front of a fire on a rainy night like this and everything. That'd be nice, wouldn't it, baby?
Yeah, it sure would.
Could drink hot coffee, maybe. Listen to music. Make fudge. Huh?
Uh-huh.
You like my new thing?
What?
This. Isn't it pretty?
Oh, yeah. Like a million. Like a whole $1,000,000.
I liked it, so I bought it just like that. You hardly looked.
I'll have to leave town. I have to get out of here. I have to go where they can't find me.
Oh, baby.
Oh, no. What's the matter? Did I say something?
You're going to leave me. You're going away.
Oh, now, look, kid, look. I have to go. Don't you understand, Puddin'? I have to leave town. If I don't, they'll get me.
They won't get you here. Just stay here with me.
I have to go. I have to go.
Take me with you.
Huh?
Let me go with you. We can have some real nice time some other place, the same as we did here.
Well, I... Yeah, sure. I'll take you.
Oh, baby.
I'll take you.
Oh, baby, you're so good to me.
Nah, nah. We haven't got time for that. We gotta get busy. We have to get a car first.
Well, we haven't got any money.
Look, how did I get that coat? How did I get all those coats?
Oh, but Ralph, you can't do that anymore. That man who was here said they're looking for you. You can't do that anymore. They'll be waiting for you.
He says I can't. I say I can. Don't you see how I use my head, baby? They're waiting for me, okay? They're waiting for a guy with a fur coat on his mind. But, baby, I'm now a guy with a car on his mind. Get it?
Oh, baby, you're so smart. Gee, you're so smart.
Well, sir, with little old Wilma wiggling around in my arms, I began to go over the new idea with myself. It was pretty good. The next day when the papers came out, I went right to work. Hey, baby, this is the one. Hey, this is the one.
Which one is the one?
This one, for sale. Like new, late model convertible private party. I just called.
Oh, well, what was the matter with the others, baby?
I told you, a man answered on the other calls. This time it was a woman who answered.
Oh.
It's the same thing. A woman trying to sell a car or a coat. She's alone. No one around. Makes it safe.
Oh, I see. You like my new hat?
Yeah, fine. Knockout, baby. Knockout.
I'll wear it in the car. What kind of car did you say it is?
Convertible. Big new convertible.
Oh, we'll look swell going down the highway in a big convertible. Maybe we can put the top down.
Yeah, we sure can. I told her we'd be right over to look at the car. Hey, you're coming with me. Yeah. It'll look better if you come with me.
There won't be any trouble. I mean, the police are looking for you, aren't they?
Baby, you let me worry about the police. There won't be any trouble at all. Just keep your new hat on. Come with me, baby.
All right. I'll dress all up.
And it took her a little while, but I finally got her over there. It was a very nice-looking house. Just the kind of a place where they'd need a convertible to show off a little bit. My meat. Wilma thought it was a very nice place, too. Hey, baby.
Hmm?
The gum.
Oh, juicy fruit. You want some?
Take out the gum, baby.
Oh.
And, I better do the talking, you know. I've been at this kind of thing for a long time now.
Yeah, well, you know best. Do I look all right?
Yes, well.
Hello?
Oh, hello. I'm the man about the car.
Oh, yes.
I'm Mr. Watson. This is Mrs. Watson.
Oh, well, come in, please.
Well, we'd like to see the car if we could. We're in kind of a hurry.
Well, the car's in the garage in the back. It's just easier to come through the house.
Well, all right.
This way.
Yeah, there's something funny about this.
What?
If she had a car for sale, she'd have it sitting in the driveway or out front. Not hidden in the garage.
After the rain last night, I thought it best to keep it in the garage. I wanted it to look nice to show today.
Ah, silly. Come on.
But you two are newly married.
Oh, no, we...
Yeah, we've been married for some time now.
You just look like newlyweds somehow. This way.
Hello. Oh, hello.
This is my husband, Mr. and Mrs. Watson.
Oh, hello, Mr. Watson.
How do you do, I'm sure.
You seem familiar, Mr. Watson. Have you lived here long?
No, we're just passing through, as a matter of fact.
Where are you staying?
At the Alpine Hotel.
How long did you say you've been in town?
A week.
What do you do for a living?
I'm an electrician.
Where did you say you were from?
Cleveland.
What part?
Shaker Heights.
Well, this must be quite different than Shaker Heights, Mrs. Watson.
Oh, it is. It is. Isn't it?
What do you think of the car?
Well, I haven't really had a chance to look at it yet.
Well, there she is. Take a look.
Yeah. That's a pretty nice car, all right. What are you asking for it?
Blue Book's paying 32 for this model right now. Cost you 38 on the lot. We'll compromise. 35?
Well, that sounds pretty good. A little steep, though. How about 34?
Can you get someone to carry the papers?
Oh, I can pay for it myself.
You brought cash?
Well, no, but I can go over to the bank and get it, if you'll give me an hour.
No cash.
Well, you didn't expect me to walk in here with $3,400 on me, did you? After all, I don't know you people from Adam. No offense, but man, it'd be crazy to carry that much money around strangers.
What bank?
Huh?
He asked you what bank you'd go to get the money.
Oh, why, just any bank. I'll draw a draft on myself, on my Cleveland account.
You say you're an electrician, Mr. Watson.
Yes.
Is your name really Watson?
What?
Don't you usually look for fur coats?
What?
What's your real name?
Huh?
Your real name, what is it?
Baby.
Shut up.
Let her talk.
Say, I came over here to buy a car. What is this?
There's the car. Buy it.
I'd like to try it out first. Baby, you shut up. Will you please shut up?
You have some identification?
Identification? Baby, would you shut up? Just shut up.
What's the matter with your wife?
I don't know. I don't know.
We thought you might be needing a car.
Huh?
I said we thought you might be needing a car to take a trip in.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know a man named Phelps, Frank Phelps?
1425 West Yondota Street.
Well, I told you I'm new here. I don't know any town at all. I don't know any Frank Phelps. Baby.
Frank Phelps was killed yesterday. Man went in his house, stole a mink coat from his wife, then used his gun on Frank Phelps when he came home unexpectedly. He beat him to death, Watson. He just stood there and beat him to death.
Well, I don't know any Frank Phelps.
I think you do.
No, I don't, I tell you. I don't. Do I, baby?
No, honest, he doesn't. Neither do I.
Mrs. Watson.
Yes?
You know we're police officers, don't you?
Yes.
I want to ask you one question.
Yes?
Why are you wearing Mrs. Phelps' mink coat?
What?
Well, I didn't think you'd mind. You never pay any attention to the things I wear. You just never pay any attention at all. Oh, baby.
Baby?
Huh?
Let's go.
We went. tell you this in case you want to think something over later. Always work alone. Always. That's one little old rule I'm sticking to from now on. Yes, sir. Now, the next time it'll be different. But that don't make any difference either. Because there isn't going to be any next time. For me.
Suspense. Presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Robert Cummings. Next week, a lady with a big voice and lots of good humor meets a man with a soft voice and a very sharp knife. It's called Never Follow a Banjo Act. Our star, Miss Ethel Merman. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is transcribed and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morowick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. Want Ad was written for Suspense by E. Jack Newman. Featured in tonight's cast were Mary Jane Croft, Virginia Gregg, Paula Winslow, Larry Thor, and Charles Calvert.
Robert Cummings will soon be seen starring in Alfred Hitchcock's Dial M for Murder, a Warner Brothers Color 3D.
And remember next week, Miss Ethel Merman in Never Follow a Banjo Act.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Ethel Merman next week on Suspense.
Oh, we'll have to be here.
Yeah, that was Want Ad starring Robert Cummings from January 25th, 1954. And that was sponsored by Autolite. Lisa is the Autolite spark plug girl.
Yep.
Right?
It's all in the
she
voice.
Does that.
It's Autolite.
You know, Lisa has lots of jobs. She's the Autolite spark plug girl.
Yeah, that's my
she's
favorite.
She's here Saturday
that's
and
Sundays.
That's my favorite
job, though, the Autolite girl.
She has her own talk show, Listen to Lisa.
In my dreams.
She's a mom of four kids.
Yeah.
She's a wife. You go around and you do stuff like with this cancer research thing you did the other day.
That was right? Today.
She goes to tons of play. I mean, you are busy. Where do you get all this energy?
Yeah. She's cloned.
I'm tired.
You know what, Roger? I think she takes ironized yeast. What do you
ironized?
Think?
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
she takes maybe I need some ironized yeast
tablets. Yeah.
That's how
that sounds
it gives
good.
You pep yeah. and energy.
Is it the yeast
that's right.
that you put in when you make some bread?
Yeah.
A little bit
gives
different.
You, gives you a lot of
something or
that's
another.
What you want. You want to, you want yeast, don't you?
Women don't want yeast.
No, I didn't think so. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Oh, Black Friday this Friday.
It's coming up, right? Are you
oh,
a big
man.
Shopper?
Yeah.
Really?
Black Friday, yes.
I like to not shop on that day.
But I don't go out. I just do it online. I just order online stuff.
I don't like to shop that day.
Yeah.
It's too busy.
I wonder what
it's
I should
too
get
crowded.
Roger.
Heat holders.
Well, yeah, I got him a heat holders already. But, I mean, what else for Roger?
Get me a genie.
It sounds
a genie. Then I can make nice.
Like an eye genie.
Especially if she looked
genie?
Like Barbara Eden.
That genie. No.
Right?
Carl and I are on the same wavelength here.
Yeah. Rub a lamp and make wishes, you know.
Make sure there's a lamp.
But I want the genie to look like Barbara Eden, not the one that was
but
in
I tell you, folks.
Aladdin that we went and saw here. I don't want it to look like Barbara
Eden.
He
can be taught.
Yeah. All right. So in our next hour, for those who will be listening on the app or on a stream, you're going to hear the full episode of The Shadow, but they're going to be coming in and out on the terrestrial side, folks, because we're moving transmitters. That's what I'm told. I just do what I'm told, Roger.
You yeah, rarely just, do what
you're
told.
It's usual transmitter work. Is what they have
well,
to do.
Well, when WGN
we've done
tells
this before.
Me to do something, I do it.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah. I was working one weekend many, many years ago when we were on the first floor where I actually had to read the sign off and then read the sign on again mm-hmm. because we were off for about 3-4 hours.
Yeah,
just
you're
completely off.
You're off already. Right.
He's off. He's
hell
off. I was thinking the same thing. Like, what is he talking about?
Will you stop it?
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, we're back. It's hour 3. Thanks, Roger. As we mentioned earlier, there will be transferring of the transmitter.
Okay. Roger knows
it's
all
that
about
holiday
that.
Season.
Yeah.
The old transferring of the transmitter.
We're transmitting the transmitter and transferring it.
Yep.
Well, okay, so...
I think they're dusting it is what they're doing.
Well, they're doing something. Maybe they're putting ornaments on it or something like that. They could be doing that, trimming
it. Wouldn't that be cool?
They're trimming and transferring
trimming the
transmitter.
The transmitter.
Okay, so folks, if you're not hearing us... You should switch over to the app.
Well, wait a minute. If they're not hearing us, they can't hear that you're telling the transfer.
This is true.
So right now, you should say that to all of our great friends on the WGN Radio website or the WGN Radio app or on iTunes or TuneIn.
Yes.
We thank you for staying with us.
Yeah, thank you. Staying with you.
Record that. Run the tape on that.
Here's what I'll say.
Can you remember?
Here's what
that?
I'll say. What he just said.
I want to hear you say it.
And next on.
And in this hour, it's The Shadow. It's brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming film Trading Paint, a father and son stock car racing film.
All right.
And the winner is going to get a Twilight Zone 4CD set.
Excellent. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. You'll hear this actor right here.
We just watched the hair.
All right. Just watch the hair.
That's all you need.
You watch the hair, Lisa, over there.
If you had any.
All right. I got some left. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Who is that actor? We'll find our winner after these words.
Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
We just washed the hair.
Yeah, watch the
hair. There you go. Shantae took a call off the air, and Jerry called in from Northbrook, and he knew that that was... John Travolta, the infamous John Travolta. So congratulations to Jerry. He has won a Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
And the winner is Izabada Badoobity-Bobbity-Boobity-Bob.
Adina, I can't. I can't remember the words he used. Darn it. It was funny,
that
though.
That poor guy, he'll never live that.
No. He's got a good sense of humor about
him.
It, though.
Till the ends of the earth.
Why can't I think of how he pronounced it?
Yeah.
He's got
a good... Adina Menzelababa.
No. He didn't say Menzel.
Yeah.
Whatever he did, it was impronounceable.
All right, so Jerry's a big winner. He knew that it was John Travolta. And I love John Travolta.
I do, too.
I tell you what, Grease and Saturday Night
he's
Fever.
Fantastic.
You know, the other movie that he was really good in, Blowout. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
Oh, yeah. It was really good. He was a sound effects artist for movies, and he gets embroiled in a murder mystery. It's really good. Yeah, he's a great actor.
He's great in most things.
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Oh, my gosh.
Now and then,
so
I've
terrific in that.
Not, but most of the time, he's great.
All right. You know what else is great?
Radio theater.
The Shadow. The Shadow. Lamont Cranston as The Shadow, of course. So William Johnstone took over for Orson Welles when Orson Welles left The Shadow to really... Oh, don't go into the segment? Oh, okay. We don't have to go back to commercials. We can chat a little bit. You know what, Lisa? I recently wrote an article for Remind Magazine. You know, every month I write for Remind Magazine. And I took one of my old... Okay, we have to do a break? Okay. I took one of my old interviews. I interviewed John Archer. John Archer is Ann Archer's dad.
Right.
And John Archer played The Shadow in 1944 and 1945. And I think I recorded this in like 1995 or 96. And it was fun to listen to it. I transcribed it. And he talked about The Shadow. And it's really interesting because... As well known as The Shadow was, he was like, you know what, Carl? It was like just like another gig for me. I just went from one studio to the next with my script rolled up in my pocket. It was kind of interesting to hear him say that. I went there. Yeah, I played The Shadow, and then I walked down the block. I was on Gangbusters, and then I did another one. I was on This Is Your FBI. Came back and did another episode of The Shadow for the West Coast. You know, it was just a gig, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so let's take a quick break, right? And then we'll come back. And we'll play The Shadow. Do you want to do that? or not. Roger, here, have a seat. Roger came in. Yeah, I don't know. We're going. I don't know what we're. I guess it's a. Is it we doing
we're
the transmit?
I mean,
So you don't want me to start the shadow?
Take a break.
All right, we're going to stand by. Roger, how are you?
Hi.
What's going on? How are you?
Well, I just came from upstairs.
Yeah.
And there are sirens and alarms going off.
Upstairs?
Where?
Why?
Well, because whenever the
because
the
they're
radio equipment,
it down.
The transmitter equipment, whenever there's no signal,
yeah.
or the, it's silence,
they're letting
dead
you know.
Air, these alarms go off.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Okay. So, Shante, are we going into the shadow now or no? Yes, we are. All right. Roger, you ready for the shadow? We have Bill Johnstone starring as the Shadow. This is called Prelude to Terror from January 29th, 1939, part one now of The Shadow.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
Your local Blue Coal dealer presents The Shadow. These half-hour dramatizations are designed to forcibly demonstrate to old and young alike that crime does not pay.
The Shadow, mysterious character who aids those in distress and helps the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the unseen voice belongs. The only one who knows the true identity of that master of other people's minds, the Shadow. Today's story, Prelude to Terror.
Come in. Oh, it's you, Cooper.
Yeah, Professor Baker. I thought you'd like this cup of hot tea, sir.
Oh, yes, yes, thanks. Helps to keep me awake. And I have a lot of work to do tonight.
Shall I pour it, sir?
Yes, please. Well, isn't this your night off, Cooper?
Yes, sir. I passed the house on my way home and saw your lights on. I know how you enjoy a late cup of tea.
Very considerate of you, Cooper. Very. But it's late, and you must get your rest. Oh, the doorbell. I wonder who that could be at this hour of night.
Shall I answer it, sir?
Yes, Cooper, yes. I'll take care of the tea.
All right, all right.
Danny, what are you doing here?
Cut the gab. Close the door.
I know. Braden sent you.
Where's old man Baker?
Upstairs in his study.
Okay.
Hey, wait. I won't let you do this. I won't let you hide him.
You keep your mouth shut unless you want to go back and finish out that prison term you ran out of.
Hey, leave Professor Baker alone, please. I'm not going to be in on this. I'm getting out.
Well, who was the late car? Oh, I thought it was Cooper. What do you...
Gee, you're sure jumpy tonight, Braden. What are you walking up and down like that for? Something on your mind?
Yeah, big things. Things you'd never understand. I wonder what's keeping Heaney. Should have been here half an hour ago.
Think he might have muffed things, boss?
I hope not.
There he is now.
Open up.
Okay, boss. He was just talking about you.
Well, Heaney, what happened? You have any trouble?
Not much. I just put two slugs into the old guy, Professor Baker. He's dead. The rest was easy.
What about Cooper?
He was scared stiff. He lit out.
You let him get away?
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that guy. He's too scared to talk.
You should have put the silencer on him anyway.
Well, you're the boss, Braden. What do you want me to do?
Take no chances. Dig Cooper up and close his trap for keeps.
Okay, boss. I'll take care of him.
You get the stuff I sent you after?
Yeah, sure did.
Let me have it.
Yeah, let's see. I get it right inside here. Yep. Here you are, boss. The old professor had it right where you said.
Yeah. This is it, all right.
What is it, Braden? Looks like an empty bottle to me.
It's a colorless, odorless gas. The most powerful explosive in existence. Enough to blow up this whole city.
Yeah?
This is all there is in the world.
Yeah? What are you going to do with it?
You'll find out. Hey, Engenstall.
Yes, boss? What's on your mind?
You used to be a chemist, right?
Still am. The best outside the law.
All right, I want you to take this gas out of this little bottle and seal it in that crate of light bulbs I got last night. You think you can do it?
I guess so. How much gas to the bulb?
Wait, I'll help you. Morgan, Grace, all of you, come here.
Well, what's up, Braden?
Plenty. When we get these explosive light bulbs fixed up, I want you to go out and plant them in light sockets everywhere. In stores, houses, public buildings, all over the city.
Well, what's the big idea, Braden?
I'm going to plunge the city into total darkness for one night.
Total darkness?
How are you going to make them douse their lights?
Look, we get these bulbs planted before noon tomorrow. When it gets dark, they'll turn on lights. In some of these places, it'll be blown to bits.
Oh, boy.
The next night, they won't dare turn on a light.
Yeah? Where do we come in? What does that get us?
What does it get us, you sap? Don't you see? When the city blacks out, we move in and take over.
Wow, that's what I...
Yeah. I've drawn up a chart showing exactly where the explosive bulbs ought to be planted.
You ain't missed a trick, huh, Brady?
This is a big job. Now, we'll need plenty of help for the cleanup. Round up every dip, rod, man, gangster, any crook you know. Have them here in the mill tomorrow night.
Okay, boss.
Don't worry, boss.
As soon as everything's set, we'll move in under cover of darkness.
They poor cops. They will be helpless.
Yeah. We'll rob, steal, pillage to our heart's content. We'll take everything that's not nailed down.
Boy, what a stunt.
Well, that's a crook's paradise.
Greatest idea I've ever heard.
It's the greatest idea in the history of crime. I'm going to create a reign of terror like this country's never known.
Something for a youngster, you say, madam?
Yes, I don't exactly know what I want.
Well, is it a boy or a girl?
A girl. I'm her grandmother.
Oh, is that so? Well, I have a little girl, too. How old is your granddaughter?
She's just 4 months old.
Oh, well, then you must see our modern nursery. The infant's things are all in there. Will you come right this way, please?
I don't know why, but I'm coming this way.
Are you step right in?
Thank you.
Oh, it's rather dark, isn't it? Well, I'll put on more light. It switches. Ah, here we are.
Watch out, that pillar!
It's coming down! Tom! Tom, where are you?
Get out! The walls are crumbling!
Somebody, please give me a hand. There's a child buried under here.
It's Govan's department store.
The whole front blown out.
Oh, it's terrible. Awful.
Get back there. Keep away now.
All right, lend a hand here, Ben. We can't handle the wounded. Come on.
Look, look, there's a girl in that window up there.
She's going to jump.
Don't jump. Wait. Oh.
Car burns. Last stop.
Doctor, I'm going all the way to Henshaw Terrace.
There'll be another car right behind you, mister.
What do you know? Hey,
you folks can sit in the waiting room over there.
Pretty dark in this waiting room. How about some light?
Yeah, there's a switch right behind you.
Oh, yes. I'll turn it on.
Anything else, Commissioner Weston?
Yes. Detail as many men as you can spare to the Castle Street car barns. And swear in every able-bodied volunteer you can find as a special deputy. I'll broadcast an appeal to all doctors and nurses in this entire territory to report there at once. Stay right on the job, Brophy. Phone me again in 10 minutes.
Okay, Commissioner Weston. Goodbye.
Lamont Cranston to see you, Commissioner.
Cranston? Well, you tell him for me.
Hello, Commissioner Weston. Why don't you tell me yourself?
I'm busy, Cranston. What do you want?
I came to see if there's anything I can do to help in this horrible catastrophe.
If you can swing a pick, drag a hose, or carry a stretcher, there's plenty for you to do.
I've already done my bit in that direction. For the moment, I'm interested in the reason for these awful crimes.
Now, wait a minute, Cranston. I've got more on my mind than just sitting here and satisfying your curiosity.
This is not just curiosity, Commissioner. I've got a theory.
So has everybody else. I've got no time for crackpot theories.
You certainly are flattering, Commissioner.
Well, I'm not running a school for amateur detectives.
No, I'd never suspect you of pedagogic inclinations, Commissioner. But tell me, do you know how the explosions occurred last night?
No, I don't. All I know is that the two places went up when the lights went on.
Then I'm sure I can help you.
If you have any evidence, any facts, I'm willing to listen. But I don't want to hear any more theories.
All right, Commissioner, calm yourself and I'll explain.
I am calm.
Well, of course you are. Now, my theory is this.
What?
Oh, all right, let's put it this way. My hunch is this.
Go ahead. Get it off your chest and let me get back to work.
You want to clear up the mystery of these explosions, don't you, Commissioner?
That, Cranston, would seem to be the general idea.
Then you must first find out who killed Professor Baker.
Are you trying to tell me that there's a connection between the death of Baker and these explosions?
I'm not just trying, I'm telling you. There is, definitely.
What makes you so sure about it?
I happen to know that Professor Baker was experimenting with an explosive, such as might have been used in these two blasts.
Where does your theory go from there?
Professor Baker was killed for possession of that explosive. Find his killers, and you found the men responsible for the other crimes.
But where's the motive? What reason could they have had for blowing up those places and killing all those people?
That I don't know.
There you are, in a blind alley. You have a theory and nothing to support it. Now run along, Cranston. My nerves won't stand any more of this nonsense.
You must listen to me, Commissioner. You've got to...
Now I've got... Hello?
Hello, Commissioner Weston.
Yes, who's this?
Never mind that. I got some dope for you.
What do you mean?
Those two explosions last night were bad, huh? Well, that's only a little sample of what's coming tonight.
What? What did you say?
You heard me. You're going to have a worse mess on your hands if you don't carry out my orders.
Orders?
I want this city in total darkness tonight.
Total darkness?
If there's an electric light, auto headlamp, or even a flashlight turned on, you're going to get a bouquet of explosions worse than yesterday.
You must be stark mad. You'll never get away with this.
Try me and see. Either the lights go out or the city goes up.
Hello. 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 Cranston. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did, Commissioner.
What are we going to do? It'll be dark in a few hours.
Commissioner, that man must be stopped. If he's not, this city will be the scene of indescribable horror tonight. We've got to stop him.
Extra, extra. Explosive light bulb. Threaten more blasts. Mystery voice warns Commissioner Weston. Extra. 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 Explosive electric lamp spread through city. Read all about it. Extra. Extra.
Say, this is terrible. We won't have any light.
Oh, how are we going to see in the dark?
I'm not turning any light on in my place tonight.
Me neither. I don't want my family blown up.
Yeah, but what are we going to do?
Can't they stop this? Can't anything be done about it?
Calling Dr. Martin. Dr. Martin. Emergency. Calling. Oh, please. Dr. Martin, do something. Please save my little bambina.
Well, I'll do all I can, Mrs. Vanetti. Your child is very sick.
Oh, my bambina, my baby.
What are we going to do, Doctor?
That child won't last an hour if we don't operate at once.
We can't do that. We don't dare turn on the light.
Well, we've got to do something.
Couldn't we operate by candlelight?
Oh, that's impossible. The operation's too delicate.
Oh, please, Doctor, help my baby.
Nurse.
Yes, Doctor.
I'm going to operate.
But the light, Doctor.
I can't stand here and see this child die. We've got to take the chance. Turn on the lights.
But very well, Doctor. I'll turn them on.
Hello?
Mayor Hamilton?
Yes. Who is this speaking?
This is the Shadow.
Shadow? Oh, yes, yes. What can I do for you?
Mr. Mayor, the hospital has just been blown up.
What? The hospital? Good heavens, that can't be possible.
It's true, Mr. Mayor.
I can hardly believe it. What hellish fiend can be responsible for this?
Mr. Mayor, you've got to act at once. You must make any other explosions tonight impossible.
Of course, but how can I do that?
Order the city power plant to cut the main switch.
The main switch?
It's the only way. You can't depend on all the people keeping their lights out.
But cutting the main power switch will tie up everything in the city.
It's that, Mr. Mayor. Or death, destruction, and panic.
Very well. I'll order the power cut at once.
All right, for those of you who can hear us,
That's the first portion of The Shadow from 1939, January 29th, with Prelude to Terror, starring Bill Johnstone. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it's time now for more of this William Johnstone episode. You know who plays the lovely Margot Lane in this episode?
Lisa Wolf.
No, you are the Autolight spark plug girl. You're not on this. You're the Blue Coal girl on this. That's a sponsor. No, Agnes Moorhead and Dora from Bewitched.
One of my favorites.
Is on this as the lovely Margot Lane. Also in this cast, we have Dwight Wiest. You know who that is? That's Diane Wiest's dad.
Oh, yeah.
You know the actress Diane Wiest? She's great. She's in a lot of the Woody Allen movies. Dwight Wiest is on this. So good cast. Let's tune this in now. The conclusion to Prelude to Terror on The Shadow.
Our cast begins the second act of The Shadow's adventure in just a moment. But first, here's some important information for homeowners.
Mr. Roberts, at the opening of today's program, I believe you said that blue coal was different from other fuels. Just how is blue coal different?
Well, blue coal is mined from the northern Pennsylvania field. That's the rich anthracite region which produces 40% of all American hard coal.
How about the preparation of blue coal? Is there a difference there?
Oh, yes. You see, the Glen Alden Coal Company, which produces blue coal, is the nation's largest hard coal company. As each ton of coal comes from their mines, it's carefully sized. Then it's washed with 12.5 tons of water for each ton of coal to remove any existing impurities. But most important of all, each carload is submitted to a thorough laboratory test by inspectors. Only the coal which meets Glen Alden's high quality standard is trademarked a harmless blue and accepted for shipment to blue coal dealers.
How about the results homeowners receive from using blue coal?
Well, blue coal's unchallenged record of first place for years in nationwide volume of sales speaks for itself. Hundreds of thousands of American families have found that blue coal banks and handles better, gives longer intervals between firing periods, and perfect all-around heating comfort and satisfaction. So, friends, if you haven't yet tried blue coal, be sure and ask for it by name next time you order fuel. Your nearest blue coal dealer's name is listed in the Where to Buy It section of your classified phone directory.
Gosh, it sure is dark.
I can't see where I'm walking.
Wonder what street we're on now.
Well, does it matter? I'm lost. We're all lost.
I'm sorry, lady.
I didn't see you.
Hold that lantern higher, Bill. We don't want to walk off the viaduct.
Okay, Fred. Boy, am I glad I found this old wagon lamp. This is a swell idea.
Yeah, it's a swell target.
It was shot right out of my hand.
When that gang said the city would have to black out, they meant black out.
Can't keep flying around here all night. Our gas is running out. You've got to set her down someplace.
I can't understand it. I couldn't possibly have missed the city.
We've cruised around for 20 minutes now, and I haven't seen a single light.
We just have to keep going while the gas holds out.
Then what?
Then we start praying, brother.
Well, Margot, main switch is turned off. No lights, no power, nothing but bewilderment. Uncertainty.
Oh, this is awful, Lamont. What are people going to do?
I'm afraid this is all leading to something worse, Margot. A prelude to a greater terror.
Lamont, you must do something.
I've racked my brain for a solution, some faint clue, and I'm stuck. I don't know what to do.
But we just can't sit and wait for some new terror to strike, Lamont.
There must be some loose thread that might unravel this whole vicious pattern. Margot.
Yes, Lamont?
I've got an idea.
Yes?
Professor Baker's hired man, Cooper. The police released him. They said he proved that he was not in the house the night the professor was killed.
Yes?
It just struck me. The killer's fingerprints were on the handle of the door to the old man's study. But there were none on the knob of the street door. Don't you see it, Margot? Somebody opened the door for the killer.
Cooper.
Perhaps.
But Lamont...
Come on, Margot. We've got to find Cooper. The Shadow has got to talk to that man. He may be the thread I've hoped for.
Sure enough, the last candle I have in the house, Mr. Cooper. They're very scarce now. But at least you'll be able to finish your packing.
Thanks, Mrs. Kelly.
Oh, my, no. I'm not sorry to see you go. But I don't blame anybody for getting out of this cursed city, that
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, sure. Now, if you don't mind, I got a lot of packing to do. Good night, Mrs. Kelly.
Well, if that's the way you feel, goodbye and good riddance to you, Mr. Cooper.
What?
Watch your hurry, Cooper.
Who's that?
What are you running away from?
Me? What? Where are you? I can't see you.
I'm the Shadow, Cooper.
The Shadow?
You know of me, don't you? Now listen, Cooper. I've got to talk fast, and so do you.
I got nothing to talk about.
Cooper, you share responsibility for the death and destruction in this city.
No, that's a lie. I had nothing to do with it.
You know the man who killed Professor Baker. You've got to tell me who he is.
I can't.
You must. You alone can release the city from the grip of terror that man has placed it in.
I don't know anything about it, I tell
you. You're lying, Cooper. I know. You opened the door for the killer.
I wouldn't hurt the old man.
You were with him just before he died.
But I had nothing to do with his death. Honest, I didn't.
If you want to save yourself and clear your conscience, you've got to talk.
But I... All right, I want to get it off my mind. I'll talk. Heaney, what do you want?
Just delivering a little message from the boss, Cooper. Here it is.
Cooper. Speak to me, Cooper. Your throat. Try to talk, Cooper. The fate of the city rests with you.
I
can't understand you. For heaven's sake, man, you've got to tell me. Look, Cooper, I'll put my ear close to your lips. Try to whisper. Try. Yes, I understood that. His name, Cooper. His name, please.
Yes, sir.
What?
Sir.
Try again. Where? Quick, Cooper, quick.
What happened? I thought I heard a shot out here.
Look, it's Mr. Cooper. Oh, he's shot. Oh,
somebody get a doctor, yes, quick.
No. It's no use for a doctor now. Cooper's dead.
Hey, Engelstahl, bring me that chart.
Yes, boss.
Here you are. Have you checked off every place where we planted bulbs?
Every one. They're all marked in red.
What are we waiting for, Gritton?
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
I'm waiting for the boys to come back from the city and give me the lowdown on how things stand.
Say, Gritton, how come we got lights with the city power plant turned off?
I've been planning this job for over a year. I put in my own power plant.
Well, that's smart, I'll say.
Yeah, that's
yeah, but how did you manage the explosions?
See this bulb? Well, it was one of these that blew up the Gullens department store.
Oh, hey!
All right. Don't worry. You're all safe. This won't go off unless it's put in a light socket and the switch is thrown. Well,
just the same, I feel better if you didn't wave it around like that.
Margo, pull right over here, off the road.
There we are, Lamont.
Good. Now, you stay here in the car. Take this gun. You'll be perfectly safe. Just keep out of sight.
But where are you going, Lamont?
There's an old mill someplace along here. If I understood Cooper correctly, I'll find the man I'm looking for there.
You're not going in alone.
I've got to, Margo. I phoned Commissioner Weston as the Shadow and asked him to send some in.
Then why not wait for them?
I'm not sure they'll get here. They've got their hands full in the city. There isn't a moment to lose. The Shadow's got to work, and work fast.
Quiet! Quiet, all of you. Okay. Well, boys, what did you find out in the city?
Boss, you hit the bullseye. The city's as dark as a landlord's look.
Yeah, it's all set for us, boys.
Good. All right, boys. We got the green light. Time to go.
Boy, this will be sweet picking, huh?
Morgan, you take six men and go to the Macy Street Bank. You know what to do.
Yeah.
Grays.
Right, boss.
Take 20 men and clean out the Imperial Hotel.
Uh-huh.
Go through the rooms. Don't leave anything you can carry.
Right.
You, Engelstahl, the post office. 5 men can handle that.
I am all set.
The rest of you got your spots. Work fast. If anyone crosses you, use your guns. Let them have it.
Yeah. I'm shooting and asking after.
All right. Grab your flash lamps and let's go.
What was that? Am I hearing things? Did anybody hear that laugh?
Yeah, I did.
So did I.
Quite a nice little thing you've cooked up, Brayton. But here's where there's another ingredient added to your unholy brew.
Say, what is this?
It's the Shadow.
Right you are, Brayton.
Well, you're not scaring me. You're not stopping me either.
I wouldn't be too sure about that, Brayton.
Hey, I don't see nobody.
Men, this guy's right here in the room with us. He's got some trick so we can't see him. But that don't mean we can't get him. Grays, stand by that door.
Okay.
Keep your back against it and don't let anybody or anything open it. Now, Morgan, yeah? Pick up that machine gun and spray the other end of the room where that voice came from.
Right.
Somebody's doused the lights!
Hey, I'm getting out of here.
All right, quiet. Don't be afraid. Take it easy. Somebody switch on that light.
You don't dare turn on those lights.
What do you mean?
If you do, every man here will be blown to bits.
What are you talking about?
I took that explosive bulb you had on the table in front of you.
What?
When I turned out the light, I put it into one of the light sockets. Now, Mr. Braden, do you want to turn on the lights?
You're bluffing, Shadow.
All you have to do to prove that point is to throw on the light switch.
Hey, what's that?
It's a lot of cars driving up outside.
It's the police, gentlemen.
They'll never take me alive.
Alive or dead, Braden, you've got to be taken.
Hey, what are we going to do?
This guy's dynamite.
Nobody in there. Come out in 10 seconds. I will come in after you.
You might as well do as Commissioner Weston commands. Walk out the door with your hands in the air.
There's nobody walking out of this place. I know I'm chair bait. I'll die anyway. But there's one thing I'm going to do first. I'm going to take you along with me, Mr. Shadow.
Hey, keep your hands off that switch!
Get out of my way!
Look out, Commissioner! Get back!
Lamont. Oh, Lamont. Lamont.
Anyone alive in there, Captain?
Not a single one, Commissioner.
It's all right, Margot. I'm safe.
Oh, Lamont, thank heaven. I thought you'd been killed in that explosion.
It was close, Margot. But I got out when they were trying to keep Braden away from the light switch. You go back to the car now, Margot. I'll be with you in a minute. Commissioner Weston. Commissioner Weston.
Hello, is that you, Shadow?
Yes, Commissioner.
Well, we're in a fine jam now. They're all dead. How are we going to find out where the other explosive bulbs are planted?
It's all right, Commissioner. I got Braden's chart showing the location of the explosives.
Where is it?
You'll find it in the front seat of your car.
Then the city is safe.
Yes, Commissioner.
Good. All right, men, get in your cars. We've got to gather up those lamps right away. And my gratitude, Shadow, for a job well done.
Come, Margot. We're going home. Shadow's work is done for tonight. The reign of terror is ended.
Thanks to you, Lamont.
It was bound to end this way, Margot. The plots and plans of criminals are the devices of their own destruction. Law and life know no compromise with the evildoer.
And now here's Blue Coal's heating expert, John Barclay.
Thank you, Ken Roberts. This afternoon I have a hint for you ladies, and you'll find it very useful, I'm sure. You know how many colds your family suffers during the winter and early spring. But perhaps you don't realize how many of those colds are caused by the hot, dry air of an overheated house. That kind of heat, in addition to absorbing the natural moisture we need in the air, also dries out and damages furniture. Yet it's an extremely simple matter to remedy this condition and provide your home with the right amount of moisture. Just get one of those long, narrow hot water pans which attach right onto the backs of the radiators. They're designed to hang out of sight, and the water they contain is gradually evaporated by the radiator heat, and so provides the needed moisture in the rooms. You'll find that these pan humidifiers really do a wonderful job of keeping rooms far more comfortable with helpful moisture. And in this way, they reduce the chance of catching or spreading colds and illness. And friends, remember this. Your support of the great drive against infantile paralysis is urgently needed. So join the March of Dimes. Send your contributions to the White House, Washington, D.C., today.
Today's adventure is based on a story copyrighted by the Shadow Magazine. All the characters and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. The Shadow Magazine is now on sale at your local newsstand.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The shadow. Shadow knows.
Next week, same time, same station, Blue Coal, America's finest anthracite, will again present another thrilling adventure of The Shadow. Be sure to listen and be sure to burn Blue Coal, the solid fuel for solid comfort.
That's The Shadow, one of the most famous radio series of all time, right, Roger? I mean, you are a big fan of these classic radio. The Shadow, it's just like everyone says, oh, The Shadow, right?
Yeah, I think of all of the old-time radio shows,
yeah.
I think if you cover all the genres,
yeah.
group them together, that's probably the most famous.
Yeah, The Shadow. Yeah. People remember the Who. Even people that didn't, you know, grow up listening to it,
right.
they're able to say, who knows what evil
exactly.
lurks in the hearts of
the
man.
Plus the movie, which
yeah,
was
Alec
horrible.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin, yeah.
You know,
I was so excited to see that movie.
It was so bad.
Did you know, Roger, and this is true.
Okay.
I had, I did some work as a consultant on that movie years and years and years ago in the 90s. And you know what my pay was? They gave me the hat, the actual hat, his scarf.
Used in the movie.
And his cape and the ring that Alec Baldwin wore. I have it.
So why, when there's a Halloween costume party, why don't you wear that instead of
it's
that?
It's too big.
Instead of the baseball.
It's Alec Baldwin.
The yearly baseball uniform.
That goofy baseball outfit.
Alec Baldwin's a big guy. It doesn't fit
me.
He's
tall.
The hat doesn't fit me. The ring, I think it's the
Your
ring.
Your head is plenty big to fit in that hat.
When are you going to grow to fit into it?
Yeah.
One of these days.
One of these days.
I'm going to take my ironized yeast, like Lisa.
I said I have no yeast.
But you know, if you... That's good. I'm glad. You know, the movie, The Shadow movie, as you brought up, you know, in that movie, Alec Baldwin has a ring where he wears on his regular hand, and then he has a ring that he wears when he has a glove on. And I think I have the ring.
Over the glove.
I have the ring that's over the glove because it's really big.